Hey, hey, lovely. Regan Fig here. Welcome to Dive In. This is your podcast with practices, ideas, and conversations to shift the paradigm of your reality to one that's filled with pleasure and serves you well. You'll be hearing from me and other delicious beings on how to do just that. Let this podcast expand your mind, connect you with your body, and dive deep into your heart. I am so stoked to have you here to dive in with me. So I would like to, I guess, preface this episode by mentioning that this is my experience and every single birthing person's birth experience is valid, and what I experienced is by no means of judgment to anyone else who had a different birthing experience, nor is there any kind of intention for there to be pressure placed on anyone to have a certain experience. My intention for this episode and my intention for sharing my birthing experience is to contribute to the conversation that birth can be ecstatic, birth can be incredible, birth can be magical and a total life-changing event. I was fortunate enough to have such an incredible experience, and I just want to ensure that you know that this is coming from a place of abundance and not lack, from a place where by me having this incredible experience doesn't take away from anybody else's experience. I would also like to take this time to acknowledge the original custodians of this land of which I birthed, specifically our local Aboriginal people, the Wadi Wadi people of Dharawal land on which I sit. And I'd like to extend this acknowledgement out to the custodians and to the lands of which you're grounded upon as well. I pay my respects to all elders, past, present, and emerging, and honour their continuing connection to land, water, and culture. This land always was and still is Aboriginal land. I acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Alrighty. So let's dive in to my birth story of baby girl Thea Rose. Well, hello, hello, lovely listeners. I'm coming to you from a very delicious love bubble. It's almost been a week since I birthed my babe, and it has been glorious. And let me tell you, birth is quite the experience in itself, right? So I've had a few requests of people wanting to hear the whole story. It was what I can only describe as an ecstatic birth, and has, yeah, been an absolutely incredible and magical journey with this little babe. So let's dive right in. I guess I'll begin by saying we had no idea if we were going to be having a boy or a girl. So we have two boys. They are 4 and 2. And with this third pregnancy, we thought, oh, well, we'll find out what the sex is. Maybe yes, maybe no. And it got to the 19-week scan. I was like, oh, let's find out. So my husband, Jake, he was not with me. So I said, okay, excuse me, ultrasound lady, please, if you can you write down the gender on a piece of paper and pop it in with our films, and my husband and I can have a look later on tonight. So she wrote it down. She knew what the gender was, and she said she was going to put it in the films for me to pick up at the counter. And so I took that home with me. It was in my hot little hand all day. Waited for Jake to get home that afternoon. Waited to put the kids to bed. It was going to be a really special moment. And we've pulled out one film and then another and then another. And she had actually forgotten to put it in there. So look, we decided that we weren't going to find out. We were on the fence anyway, so yeah, we left it at that. We thought, well, it'll be a surprise. We were pretty much expecting a boy because all of the kids that have been born in this generation on my husband's side have been boys. There hasn't been one girl. I think we've had about 9 boys. So yeah, we were expecting a boy. And it was only about a week after that appointment at the ultrasound place that we thought, oh, I hope she didn't put it in somebody else's bag. That would be bad, right? So look, I guess we can probably start this labor story about 3 weeks before our little girl, Thea, was born. I had started having quite strong contractions and a few symptoms of birth, a few symptoms of labor, I should say. Yeah, so that was 3 weeks before. And they would last for a few hours and then it would settle down. And then it might be the next day or there might be a day or two break and then they would start again, usually in the afternoon. So look, by about 2 weeks after they had begun, I was just like, okay, I'm going to be in pre-labor land forever. It's just the way it is. Until the night before I went into labor. And I honestly thought my waters were going to break. I was getting that much headbutting action sitting at the kitchen table that night. So I was pretty agitated. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't put the kids to bed. I'd asked Jake if he could go and do that. And I took myself for a walk along the creek near our house. Now, if you follow my Insta stories, you'll probably be familiar with this area. I share it a lot on my Insta stories. It's just so beautiful. It's such a beautiful place. And so I took myself for a walk along there. It was sunset. I even found like a swing set, like this old school swing set I'd never found before. I had a little swing. I had a big talk with Bubs. I said, look, I'm ready when you are. And I really thought perhaps it would be that night. Anyway, I went to bed with some pretty strong contractions and woke up the next morning, no baby. And so then it was just another standard day. And then that night I went to bed about 9 o'clock-ish and I actually decided that I should probably do some kind of birth preparation, right? Because this whole pregnancy, I didn't really do any of your traditional birth preparation activities, practices, exercises. There was no hypnobirthing practices. There was no, birthing meditations. There was no, I think I read about 20 pages into 10 Moons, book by Jane Hardwick Collings, which I think would be amazing, but I just couldn't get into it. I didn't read any other birthing or baby books. I didn't do any kind of perineal massage, acupuncture, chiro, none of it. Like none of the stuff that I've done in my previous pregnancies to kind of prepare me for birth. So for me, yeah, I thought, I'm a little bit nervous. I don't feel like I've prepared for this. Not nervous about the birth, just nervous about what the outcome was going to be, really. I felt like I had prepared really well the last couple of times, and this time I didn't think I had. So if you have been following along on Instagram as well, you might have seen my two-part series of how I was basically self-coaching myself to flip my shit or flip my fears of birth. My second labor, my second birth was natural vaginal at home, but it was fast and furious. That's the only way I can really describe it. About 4 or so hours, and it was kind of like I had a contraction maybe every minute or so. It was kind of drop to your knees kind of intensity. I really needed to get my 2-year-old down for a nap that afternoon when I'd realized I was in labor. So between contractions, I climbed into his cot and breastfed him to sleep. And while I was in there breastfeeding him to sleep, my waters broke. So I really think the breastfeeding really accelerated birth and created that huge oxytocin surge. So I really was conscious to this time not be breastfeeding when I was in labor, when I went into labor. And my plan was really just to lay down and breathe through it and see what happened. It sounds a little bit flippant in the me saying like, just see what happens. There was a lot of things that I had actually planned beforehand to create an experience that I was hoping for. So it was at home. I had independent midwives. They knew exactly what my desires were. We were very much on the same page about things like internal examinations and skin to skin and delayed cord clamping and all that kind of stuff. So I wasn't underprepared in that sense. Like, I had prepared in terms of the environment and the support I had around me. So I was going to be in quite an empowering type of environment where my care providers really trusted in me and I trusted in myself and my baby and my body. About 9 o'clock the evening that I went into labor, I went to bed. I started watching some ecstatic birth videos because I thought, oh, maybe I should inspire myself a little bit, right? So I did that for about an hour, then I got over it and decided to go to sleep. And that was just after 10. And I think I slept for about 10 minutes before I was woken by my first like real contraction. And that's when I remembered, okay. I thought I was having contractions the last 3 weeks, which I kind of was. They were the pre-labor preparatory contractions. But I know this is different. So I laid in bed for about an hour and I was smiling like a Cheshire cat. I was giggling with like each contraction. I was so excited. I couldn't believe that, you know, tonight we were going to be meeting our baby pretty much. That was my guess. I mean, it could have been the next day, but my guess was that it was going to take just a few hours. And after about an hour, I woke up Jake and I said, "Hey mate, we're going to have a baby." And he was like, oh, like, poor thing. He was just so tired. look, he got up. He blew up the birthing pool. He prepared the lounge room, i.e., you know, picking up all the magnetic tiles and the kids' toys and made it quite a functional space for birthing. He climbed back into bed and I said, look, I'll wake you up when things get a bit more serious. So I stayed in bed for another 2 hours. So by then it was about just before 1:30. And again, like, I was just laying in bed, I had my earphones in, I was just listening to my Birth the Babe playlist I created. And yeah, just thinking about some really magical things, like, you know, the fact we were about to create a whole life, bring a whole life into this world and, you know, dreaming of and wondering about the life that this baby was going to have and how I got to be the vehicle to bring this baby earthside. And it just felt really special and really magical. All of the contractions were pretty manageable, pretty doable until this point. And then by about 1:30, I woke up Jake and I was like, okay, you need to call the midwives now. So I went and laid down on the lounge and he lit up all the candles and started filling the bath and lit up the fairy lights and brought in my speakers. My playlist was playing, which was something that I hadn't really actually experienced until that labor. My first labor, I had about a 2-hour playlist organized and I only wanted to listen to one song on repeat, which I still often hear sometimes at yoga classes and it takes me back. And then the second labor, as I said, it was so fast and furious that I wouldn't have been able to tell you what I could hear. I wasn't listening to anything. I was just in that zone. And so, yeah, it was really nice. It was on shuffle and it was really interesting, the songs that came up. Yeah, I was laying on the lounge probably for about half an hour before the midwives and my other support crew came. And really about that half hour mark, I had in that half hour, Jake was there. I was getting like coconut water. I was getting, you know, almost like that light touch massage. I was just getting loved on and it was so beautiful. Again, it was not something that I had been through the last couple of times. The last couple of times I was like, you know, like when you're going to spew and someone wants to like rub your back and you're like, don't touch me. It was very much like that the last couple of times. And this time it was like, I was so open to receive that love and that nurturing and it felt really good. It definitely put me in that love bubble and it probably helped things to feel quite easeful as well. So yeah, it wasn't long before I was like, oh my God, okay, can we get my pants off? I'm pretty sure this baby is coming, which I was actually really surprised because the contractions hadn't seemed that intense by then. I discovered that every time I had to get up and go to the toilet, which was a lot, leading up until birth, my contractions were kind of then coming sort of every minute or so. And when I was laying down, it really slowed the labor, which is what I wanted. So I stayed laying down on my left side and just breathed through them. And so, yeah, I could feel that my body was trying to push. One thing I'd said to my midwife and to Jake was that I didn't want any kind of push coaching and to ask them to remind me to allow my body to do the pushing and not focus on really bearing down like I did with my last two. There was long periods of really bearing down and pushing, and I tore both times, and I wonder if that was why. I suspect that's probably why I tore. I'd also asked them to remind me just to kind of pant when baby's head was crowning again, so I could allow it just to do its thing and not really bear down. So anyway, I'd gotten onto my hands and knees, leaning over the lounge. My contractions had really intensified. I could feel the baby coming. I could feel that my body was starting to want to push. And then I was like, oh, the pool. I wanted to have a water birth. And I think it was the midwife who said, Regan, do you want to hop in the pool? And I was like, oh yeah, is it full? And they were sort of like, not really quite yet. But it was only a contraction or two labor before it was ready for me to jump in. So I climbed in and it felt like I had a bowling ball between my legs. That's how close she was. I climbed in, and by this time, Jake had gotten up our boys. So it was about 2:30 in the morning. So they got up and I had a really strong contraction. And I heard my youngest say, Christmas lights, mummy, it's Christmas Day. Oh my God. And it was the cutest, most like, he was just so happy. It was just the best thing to hear. And I laughed, and his cuteness definitely helped out with the labor, that's for sure. So anyway, it wasn't long before I was literally, I could feel her head and I was roaring like a lion. Like, I know I say this was a very beautiful, it felt easeful, quite ecstatic birth. But I let my body and my sounds and my voice do whatever they needed to do, which the last couple of times, whilst I have a really strong relationship with my body, I feel like it's really up-leveled throughout this pregnancy, to the point where there was no questioning of what position I should be in or looking to anyone else for guidance. It wasn't even me checking in with, oh, where do I want to move my body? How do I want to position myself? It was just my body leading the way. And there was moments when I was like really crouched down almost in a ball, and then like sort of leaning forward on my hands and knees and like roaring like a lion. My two-year-old, there was one point he got a little bit upset, and they were just explaining to him, oh, mummy's just roaring the baby out. Mummy's roaring like a lion. And after that contraction, I knew he was a bit upset. So I was like, do you want a chocolate biggie? I was literally two contractions away from birthing my baby and offering my child chocolate biscuits to cheer him up, basically, and just to kind of let him know that it's all okay. Chocolate biscuits solve everything, right? And so, yeah, they were there. My youngest had really kind of calmed down and he was reassured. And yeah, it was literally then I had two contractions, and I felt down and I could feel her head, and I felt there was some hair there, and I was like, oh my gosh, it is my baby. And I was taking lots of deep breaths and I could feel her starting to crown. And I remember just saying out loud, like kind of under my breath, like stretch, stretch, stretch. And within, yeah, two contractions, her head was out. And I was just blown away. I was so surprised that I'd literally basically just done the hardest part and that was it. And I really had envisioned her birth of me like birthing this baby into my hands and pulling this baby onto my chest. I had hoped for a water birth for the last two births as well, but I just could never get in the right positioning to get the babies out. So it was suggested that I could birth on land. And I had squatted down both times with my knees out wide and my husband behind me really squeezing onto his hands. That's how my last two came out. And so I hadn't thought, I knew it was possible to birth in the water, but I wasn't sure if it was going to happen or not. And if it was going to happen, I wanted to be the one to pull my baby up out of the water and onto my chest. And now I'm getting like kind of emotional just thinking about it, because I got Jake to help roll me over, flip me over onto my back in the pool. And the next contraction wasn't too far away, and I pushed her out, her body, and the midwife gave her a little turn. She had a umbilical cord wrapped around the back of her neck, so she just moved that off. It was all very relaxed and calm, and I'm imagining it now like in slow-mo, and I pulled her up and put her onto my chest, and she cried for about 2 seconds, and then she snuggled into my chest and went to sleep. Oh, it was so beautiful. And so you can see, if you've, I keep referring back to my Instagram because I've shared a lot there, but if you go to my Instagram, you will have seen the photo of me, you know, the moment that I've pulled her onto my chest, and you can just tell from my face just how gloriously happy and I don't even know what the word is. But just, it was so incredible. It was such a magical moment. And I feel like that image really captures that. And I just had said, oh my God, that was amazing. That was incredible. That's all I could say. So we had a few moments of just, you know, me touching her and feeling her weight on my chest and like just coming to terms with that she was here now. And then we decided to look to see if we had a boy or a girl. And that's when we realized we had a girl. And I was just so blown away. It was just such an incredible, incredible experience. From there, the boys wanted to strip off and they jumped in the pool and they were loving on her. And I had both of them there. I had Jake behind me, and it was just a magical experience. I had the fairy lights around. I had my music playing when she was crowning, actually. I forget what the song is called. I think that the name of the song is called I Release Control. I'm not sure who it's by, but I'll add it to the show notes anyway. And I found that so interesting that song was the one that came on when she was crowning. There was another couple of incidences during the birth that I just felt that I was being looked after and watched on by, I don't know, maybe my ancestors or other birthing women or something greater than what I could see. And that was one of those moments as well. So the boys hopped in the pool. I could smell the scent of the candles that were burning all around the room, the wattle that I had collected from near the creek the night before. I could hear the beautiful music that was playing, and, you know, just looking at my new baby and my husband and my two children, and oh, it was just so magical. We had the fairy lights all around. It was just such an incredible experience. Yeah, so after that, it was just a bit of pool time. And then we hopped out of the pool and I got cozy on the lounge. It was a long time before my placenta came out. That's the annoying part. I didn't have any kind of, I think they use Sintesin sometimes as an injection to help the placenta come out. I didn't have any of that. I just waited for it to come out when it was ready. And it wasn't long before our baby girl was latched on for her first feed, and then she was off to sleep again. She was just so mellow and continues to be so very mellow and content and a milk guzzler like my last two. We had an absolute incredible journey together to bring her earthside, and it's something I will remember forever. It was just magical. I feel like if you are going to be birthing soon, if you know someone who's going to be birthing soon, enjoy this episode, pass this episode on. There needs to be more conversation about those amazing, incredible birthing experiences that are possible. Thank you so much for diving in with me today. I hope you enjoyed listening and that we get to hang out together in the next episode. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it, and pass it forward to a friend who could use a little dive in action. I really appreciate your time, your attention, and your energy in tuning in, and would love to know what gems you're getting from this podcast. You'll find me on Instagram on the regular, so come and say hi and tag me if you're listening and loving these episodes.